as part of the Night in Treme concert tour. Ladies and gentlemen, on trombone, vocals, and percussion, Glenn David Anders. On saxophone, vocals, and percussion, Donald Harrison. Glenn David Anders on trombone, Donald Harrison on saxophone there. So for those who haven't or aren't familiar with the television show Treme, can you guys explain what the show's all about?
Well, for me, Treme, it's great. It's really giving you an in-depth look at of a certain neighborhood, which is the neighborhood where I'm born and raised all my life. It's giving you the real insights on the culture of New Orleans, the actual music. And I think it's a very accurate portrayal of what happened leading up to Katrina and the recovery and everything. It's really a great show. But for me personally, I think it's really just the best depiction of New Orleans I've ever seen. It's really real, even though it's a lot of fiction, you know, mixed in it. But it's really real. So that's great for the New Orleans. And it's great for my neighborhood.
Well, tell us a little about the neighborhood, Treme.
Well, it's the oldest black, one of the oldest African-American neighborhoods in New Orleans. Where Congo Square, which is a huge part of where all the culture, in my opinion, everything comes from, Congo Square, because that's where slaves would congregate. And Jean-Claude Treme was the founder of that neighborhood, where a lot of philanthropists and different people would buy slaves, and he eventually earned their freedom, and they moved in that neighborhood. But I would think that it's the musical hub of New Orleans. It's where everybody has played there. It's the great Rampart Street is in Treme. All the great ballrooms, the Caledonias, all of that is in Treme, but it all come from Congo Square. Congo Square was before Treme.
And you, both of you were influenced heavily by your neighborhoods growing up, is that correct? And in fact, you said that you were wooed out of the womb by the music, right? By a tuba player?
Well, that's true. I heard that story from pretty much everybody who was in the band that day. And it, I still get to hear it because it's kind of hard to forget that your mama dancing in a parade and going to labor. I just wish I would have took a solo when I came out.
Donald Harrison, who were some influences on you and your neighborhood growing up?
Everything, all the music that comes from New Orleans is informed by the two cultures of the second line and the Mardi Gras Indians. Those are our root cultures. And being a root culture of New Orleans, that music has also influenced the world. So it's important, in my estimation, to keep it alive because it keeps informing and keeps nurturing sounds that we use in culture and music around the world. It's an important entity. It's one of the root cultures of America. And fortunately, you know, Treme is around to portray it. And I believe that David Simon really understands the importance of that. And that's the reason you have so many musicians who keep that thread alive in their music, like myself and Glenn David. You can hear that funk and that soul.
You can't deny it.
Yeah, once you feel it, you know you know it. And if you come to New Orleans, you feel where it comes from. And then you can, if you have the perspective that I'm talking about now, then you can hear, you know, when Elton John is playing his piano runs, that comes out of somebody like Jelly Roll Morton, who said that he was a spy boy when he was young. So. Right. All this stuff, all of us are mixing together, and I need him, and he needs me. So that's the beauty of New Orleans music, that we all need each other, because what he's doing is going to inform what I'm doing. I'm going to check him out, and he's coming from the same place, but he's putting his spin on it, and I'm putting my spin on it, and we just keep it together, and we love each other. You know, that's the important part about New Orleans.
Well, I want to talk a little bit more about this, but how about another song?
Yeah, because you guys, sometimes, you can start me and I just keep going.
What are you guys going to play for us?
We discussed that we were going to, I would play a little conga, some of the.
And I'm going to follow him.
Yeah, and he's just going to do, this is really true improvisation. I'm going to play some New Orleans rhythms, some of the roots, and he's going to do his thing on top.
It's going to come together.
Yeah.
That's Glenn David Andrews on trombone, Donald Harrison on congas on 88.5 KPLU. And again, really happy to have you guys here. And, you know, you were talking about traditions. And there's one that, there's probably many, but there's one that a lot of people outside New Orleans might not understand. And you got into it a little bit, but talk about the Mardi Gras Indians. You're big chief, and a lot of people might not have a real understanding of what all that means. Can you explain that to us all, Donald?
Yeah, well, you know, there's historical accounts of African Americans dressing as Native Americans since the 1700s, but we know that some of the first groups that were around that were part of the culture of the Mardi Gras Indians came around same time as maybe a little earlier than what we call the brass bands of New Orleans. And they there's different ideas of what they do it for, but it's a community of people who have influences of Native Americans as well as an African influence. And there's different tribes that carry the culture and the rituals that were formulated a long time ago. And like I said before, you can hear it. They do a lot of call and response chants. They have a way of dancing. They have these incredible costumes that each person spends the whole year designing and making. And it's a sort of a rivalry on who has the best costume and who can dance the best and who has the strongest tribe, who can, you know, it's sort of a ritual of manhood. So we challenge each other on a lot of fronts. But at the end of the day, there's a lot of respect for the people who actually go through the process to become strong in the culture and participate. And we represented all the neighborhoods. Each group has a neighborhood. I took Congo Square because I realized the significance of Congo Square, which is why I have the Congo Nation. And we all just go around and have fun, and show people that a people that have traditionally been cast aside can produce something of great beauty and of great significance. And I think that it's finally coming full circle where people realize the significance and the beauty of it.
You both have been involved with the television show Tremé. Can you tell us how you've been involved with it?
Well, I was actually called up to play myself. But I guess I did a lot of good things in the city at the time with different crime marches, different political speeches, different organizations that I started and just kept it going. But it all was part of the history and the rebuilding of New Orleans. So for me, I was just called to reenact a lot of things that maybe I thought I was just, I just thought it was the right thing to do, a lot of things that I do. But it just shows you that a lot of people are watching you, and it was the right thing to do. So we were able to recreate a lot of those, pay homage to a great musician, De Niro Shavers, which was a hard scene. But for me to have the opportunity just to be a part of this, just to be aligned with HBO, for me, it's huge. And not only, but I get to put my own music in the show, which is even better, which brings great opportunities to me as well. So it's just 100% all-around plus for me. I actually like the show. I watch it. I think a lot of the female actors are kind of hot, you know. But I like playing it. I just really like sitting around the set watching how movie, how it really works, you know. But some days it's cold, like it's cold here. You don't really want to be on the set, but.
Do you guys have to give any tips to the actors that are playing musicians?
I don't give tips to nobody. That's like me giving him tips. I'm taking tips. I'm learning. I'm in the learning process. I'm watching. But I do have many of the actors' phone number, and I've actually been to their house and went over lines because I needed help. It was a different arena for me to act in. I don't know how you pretend to be yourself. That was kind of hard, and he kept telling me I was doing it wrong, and I was like, so I had to. I practiced on how to be me, so that was a different experience totally. I didn't know that I wasn't myself.
Classic, man.
It was. It was like you're not doing it right. I was like, okay. So, well, every day you learn something, you know. Even though I think I'm a good performer, a good entertainer. I wasn't an actor, so I had to learn. I had to get a few tips on how to act, but like I said, I was playing myself, so I didn't think I needed too many tips.
too much teaching on
I
that.
I did.
Yeah.
Well, I've been fortunate on the acting tip because I was always told you're acting a fool. No, I'm joking. I was in a movie with Jonathan Demme. I just spoke to him 2 days ago, and I was telling him that he gave me like a 15-minute primer before I did a scene, and it was like the light switch. He helped me to understand context and just understanding the people around you. And I've been around Wendell Pierce, who was my roommate, and I used to watch him. Who's a brilliant actor, you know? Wendell is a brilliant actor. And he can do almost anything with a script. Right. He went to Juilliard School of Acting.
And Wendell Pierce plays a trombone player.
Yeah, he plays Antoine. I can't remember.
Baptiste.
Yeah. Thank you. So I know one of the things that Juilliard teaches is to enunciate. So I remember that from watching him, and the fact that he can really enunciate. But he has another thing that he does. He has a very a voice that really booms and can get a lot of nuances out of words. And it's almost, you know, it's almost like a musician. It's really art to listen to all of the inflections that he can get out of one sentence. If you know, I was amazed at his capabilities in that arena.
Well, could we hear one more song from you guys?
Of course.
We're going to do the classic "When the Saints."
Play the Seahawks in the Super Bowl.
That would be nice, but it's almost impossible because you guys are the same division.
You had to throw that in there.